That...
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
We're back on
Jesus, has been harrowing.
Yeah,
putting up with you while we're off air, your temper leaves a lot to be desired.
The cadence bars are going berserk. I sometimes tell you, why are the cadence bars so high? Are we shouting? Look at them.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. Gee. Anyhow, just speak normally,
Don, without
shouting.
This thing's gone downhill since the rocket hasn't worked.
Yes, since the rocket's left.
Oh, jeez, I tell you what, you and your personality
conflicts.
Have we
heard from the rocket?
No, we haven't. So, Don, just don't shout, but speak quite firmly.
Could I ask you two boys something, please?
We're waiting to just check on with the doctors coming up.
Okay, can I ask you something?
Of course, Don.
I read through the week. This is... James Molino, the acting premier or acting health minister. Now, he's quoted in the paper as saying, with regard to COVID, and I found it very difficult to understand. I'll read the quote. Molino said, this is with regard to the COVID and the hospital situation, half the patients in ICU came from 6% of the population. 60% of the deaths are from 3% of the population over 50 who are not jabbed. Now, I don't understand
if,
that.
No, that's right. If you'd believe anything that government says.
Can you, am I?
No, I'm not a mathematician.
Yeah, I just thought, is bullshit baffling brains, or am I missing something in that? Half the patients in ICU, intensive care unit, come from 6% of the population.
Yeah, that's...
60% of the deaths are from 3% of the population over 50 who are not jabbed.
Yes.
Now, that was all in one quote.
Yep.
I haven't just taken a little bit. That's a quote from Molina.
No, but that statement makes sense, whether it's accurate or not. That statement makes sense.
It makes sense. Can you explain it to me? Because I can't make sense of it.
Well, 3% of... So, if you've got 100 people, 3%,
he says... Explain the first bit. 6%. Half the patients in ICU come from 6% of the population.
So that's 6 people out of 100... 6 people out of 100 are in ICU, and 60% of those 6%, those 6 people, which is 4 people out of the 6,
are from 3% of the population.
That
what the
that, over 50 over,
over 50 who have not jabbed.
They that
so if you're over 50 you might be okay.
This is what they do, Don. They diddle with the figures to suit their own narrative. They're just telling fibs.
This
the
is,
whole
no,
lot
it's
of
not
them.
Fibs. It is the most.
So they tailor the stats. They tailor the stats to push their narrative, to push their argument. It's what's going on in the United States. They said the nonsense they speak over there about this, and why they keep counting how many people are getting COVID and how many people are off work because they think they've got COVID. It is an absolute rort.
It's going on not only there. I tuned into an annual meeting of the Equestrian Federation of Australia. It was on Zoom on the weekend, which is their annual meeting.
How were you received?
I just sat there as an observer on Zoom.
Oh.
And listen to the speak,
yep.
That these people on the committees, the administrator and the chairman, it's a speak. They use what I call wank words.
Wank, yes, woke words.
Woke words.
Woke or wank, yeah, same thing.
Woking is wanking. They make words up that are not in the English dictionary.
Yes.
And... it makes them all impressive. Instead, and again, when you sit down I went away and thought, they're bullshitting. These blokes, bullshit again baffles brains.
Well,
and no wonder our sport, the sport that I'm involved in, which is show jumping, is in the situation that it is in, because We nearly didn't have an equestrian team at the Tokyo Olympics because of the way or the conflict that has existed in show jumping over the past couple of years. In fact, I've been involved for 40 years since I've finished playing football. Righto. And this sport is a sleeping giant but badly administered.
So we're calling the doctor now. So
I was just going to go on and say, I'll come back to this.
Of course you will, dog, but we can't hold the doctor up.
Oh.
And now here we go. I think, are we doing it?
Roadcaster. Hang on, Doc.
What are you doing? Can you hear us?
Loud and clear.
Geez, I hope you're an important person. I was halfway through a topic, Doctor.
Don't shout, please.
And we've had to drop my topic. I'm wild.
Don't shout, please, because the cadence bars are going berserk here.
Did the topic involve bees or trains or horses?
Oh, don't get him started yet. Not yet.
It's show jumping, and I'll tell you about my bees. Do you want to know about my bees?
No.
Why?
I've got no interest in your bees or your birds.
Oh, there's his phone going again.
Where
is the phone?
Oh, it's in my pocket.
Doc, how are you now? Can we just, before we've had a bit of a bombshell, we thought about Djokovic and the Australian and state government. I don't know if you've caught up with all that, but like your opinion, seeing as you've been out marlin fishing with your son last week and couldn't come on, how did you go in the fishing? Did you take him out?
Mate, we did, but they weren't marlin. They were very, very tiny fish that I can't even tell you what they were. But I've got a friend who gave me a tip just to say, look, if you don't like standing around for hours trying to catch a fish, you just go to this certain fishing spot at Empire Bay on the Central Coast. You'll catch one every 5 minutes. So we did, lots of little ones, threw them all back. But I understand the best place to go fishing is on your boat, Sam, because if you want to catch a shark...
Doc, please.
It is.
I'm a little embarrassed about that.
Have you spoken about it on the podcast yet?
Well, Don heard he's back up show riding up in the country, and then he said, well, you've had an interesting weekend yourself, Sam, but Don put his back out riding a horse, which I thought was extraordinary, this big...
He wouldn't answer the question, Doctor, about whether there was any booger sugar on the boat.
Yeah, no, Don...
Well, look, the issue with Don's back is that he's been carrying Sam Newman on this podcast for about a year now. So that puts a lot of strain on the back. So if you then add on the show jumping, that is going to cause back concern.
I carrying the horse across the jumps, Doctor?
But can I just read here from the Daily Mail? Brian Mannix has been left injured for the second time in as many months during yet another ill-fated trip out on Sam Newman's boat. I mean, mate, is this the most dangerous boat in Australia? I've not known a boat to have more problems than yours.
Well, Doc, all I do is just drive the thing and I leave them to their own devices and I come down the stairs, because it's got stairs on it, I come down the stairs to just check that we've got the ladder down so that they go and have a swim, and then I put the ladder down and then I go up and do other things, and then suddenly they said Brian was bleeding and he got out of the water, and I thought, well, we'll get Brian out of the water quickly because blood in the water is not a good look when you're out on the bay, and because it can attract things. And so he said he thinks he was bitten by something, and this went from he thinks he was bitten by something to being attacked by a shark, and Warwick Kappa dived in and saved him, and he went to ICU at hospital. And I said, shit, I don't know where I was when all this was happening, but heavens above. So that's where that all started. It's a bit embarrassing.
Well, let me just ask Don, you're pretty good at picking BS when you smell some. Shark or no shark?
There is a picture being painted here that this boat has run aground in the middle of the bay. It has reversed and gone through the dock on the Yarra. There is just one thing after another. There's got to be a common denominator, Doctor.
Yeah, the common denominator is Sam Newman, but shark or
well,
no shark?
Hang on a minute, I'm the only sensible person on the bloody boat.
How can you run a boat aground in the middle of the bay? How can you put it through the dock on the Yarra?
I didn't run it aground on the...
But also, hang on a minute, how can you say you were the only sensible person on the boat when Warwick Kappa was there?
What?
He's got a point.
Warwick is masquerading as a as actually a human at the stage. Now, Doc, I want to ask you. So you took your son. I noticed Jody wasn't. I think we
everything all right there. Everything all right there with Jody.
Hang on, Jody was there, Doc. Yeah.
Well, she gave you space. Don, she gave you space before Christmas. Shout, we're a little please. Bit worried.
Don't shout.
Yeah,
Don.
Look, there was a bit of misleading information accidentally on last week's podcast because I was listening as I always do. I was away with the whole family, with Jody and the three kids, but the fishing was just myself and Freddie, and the girls went and did something else. So no, everything's great with Jody. Never been stronger, and when you also spoke about us renewing our wedding vows, that's not something Jody's keen to do, but I've suggested we do it every 10 years. I want to do it every, because I just like having another wedding and another party. But
could Don and I and Ivan fly up and be witnesses to the next one? I could give the bride away again if the Mr. Jody's not with us any longer.
Ivan would scare the living daylights out of people if there was a case of mistaken identity.
We'll take his moustache off, Doctor. We'll take the moustache off.
I won't wear the hat.
So I just wanted to say to you, Doc, at any stage, we really appreciate you coming on, but if there's anything that comes up family-wise and you say you can't do it from time to time, like you might, if you've been fishing, you might want to take a young, what's his name? Freddie to a ballet school or an oxy welding course or an oxy welding course somewhere, whatever floats his boat. You don't have to come on every month, every week, but we love you coming on because you're a star, Doc.
Maybe I should be on once a month. Maybe
no,
you should be kind of, you know.
Not at all, Doc. But this wasn't by way of saying we don't want you to come on, but I don't want to put pressure on you because you're a very high profile person going all over Australasia.
Can I tell you, Sam, I don't know whether you've covered the speculation that you've got around Novak Djokovic that you told me about on the phone last night.
But, yes.
Well, I've made some inquiries.
Good, good. Because we just had the man on who gave me all that information.
Okay, well, I can tell you, last night this email was sent to Tennis Australia. Sorry to bother you. We've had someone send us a curious tip-off. We wanted to clear it up or confirm if it was even partially true. One, was Novak Djokovic's private flight to Australia arranged and paid for by Tennis Australia or its partners? Two, is Tennis Australia picking up some or all of the fees for Mr. Djokovic's failed legal case with the federal government?
We have not received a reply.
So I'm awaiting a reply from Tennis Australia. I mean, it sounds unbelievable to me, I've got to say, but then again, I've learned that sometimes the most unbelievable things can be true. That's why you go to the source. That was sent last night, and some 12 hours on, we haven't got a response.
Well, Doc, I read out exactly what I read out to you last night, and we got the man on who came on at the podcast, which has been downloaded subsequently, and he verified absolutely 100% that, and more, incidentally, and more, that was only the tip of it, about the implications of the state and federal government and Tennis Australia, and he verified it 100%. That's what he said, and I'd be very happy to pass his name and number on to you if you wanted to speak to him, because we think it's absolute bombshell what he said, that he said Novak Djokovic has been maligned unfairly and absolutely unfairly, because all he did was get on a plane at the behest of Tennis Australia, having got all the clearances and all the assurances, and they flew him out here, put him up in a private house in a very salubrious area, which he didn't go to because he wasn't allowed to stay, did nothing wrong, didn't even know what the application was on the application, but got clearance from Tennis Australia to come, and the government, the federal government decided that there was a vote winner for him coming, and the state government decided it was a vote winner in him not coming, and that's where he's just become the meat in the sandwich and made a scapegoat.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre that he was given the impression that it was going to be okay for him to come, because the rules state that he can't come because he's not double vaccinated. And now you've seen the French Open has laid down a similar rule for Novak Djokovic, saying, no, you're not going to be able to play in the French Open. So now he faces a real dilemma. But I spoke to the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, on 2GB on Monday, and I put it to him. I said, look, why was he given the impression he was able to come and that he was going to get a medical exemption? And Scott Morrison said, well, the Australian government didn't give him a medical exemption. So it sounds like Tennis Australia has tried to have its cake and eat it by saying, oh, yes, we'll toe the federal government line, but at the same time, offering some assistance to Novak Djokovic in navigating his way through the medical exemption. So, you know, I mean, he is the meat in the sandwich because he was obviously given the impression by Tennis Australia that it was okay for him to come and that his medical exemption would suffice, when in fact the rule is in Australia, if you're not double jabbed, you don't come.
But Doctor, our source, John Locko, said that there were 26 applications went to two independent boards set up by Tennis Australia. Now, correct me, boys, six were approved. Two have gone back. That is the lady from Czechoslovakia and Djokovic. There are still four here and four competing on the tennis circuit. In similar situation to Djokovic.
Didn't he say 26 people?
26 applied.
The other issue for him is that, and they use this as an excuse, obviously, to jam him, but there was a mistake or a lie contained on his incoming declaration form because he didn't declare that he'd been to another country prior to coming to Australia. So,
but the form was filled out by Tennis Australia.
John Locko says the form was filled out by Tennis Australia and Djokovic didn't even know what was on the form.
Well, I suppose the lesson in that is don't rely on other people to fill out custom declaration forms as Novak Djokovic or his team did.
No, but that's fair enough, of course, to say that. But if Tennis Australia say we'd like you to come out and play and we've filled in all the required documents, just get on the plane, please, and come over and we'll fly you over, whoever flies you over, and you say, yeah, right, sure, I'm coming. And that's in a nutshell where it is that this man, John Locko, says is absolutely factual.
And that may be why Craig Tiley, the boss of Tennis Australia, has been uncharacteristically quiet. I mean, we haven't heard from him. It's his tournament, he's the boss, and he won't face any questions on it. And I do note, and I won't read too much into this, but I do note that we haven't got an answer on the questions that we put to them, because I found that extraordinary, if it's true, and I don't know whether it is. Obviously got a source who's been talking to you, and you've got some faith in that source. But I will be pursuing this further today with Tennis Australia to ask more questions to say, when are you going to answer the questions?
I've absolutely got faith in this source, and I tell you what, I'm very happy. He'd be delighted to speak to you on your show. He says it is 100% what he says, and he's happy to come on and anyone.
He also did say, Doc, that Tennis Australia did fill out other applications for players coming across.
It's a shame. It is a shame because he's the world's best, and he may not be the most popular player in the world, but he's certainly the best player in the world, and it's a shame when you've got a major tennis tournament and the number one isn't there. I think that leaves a bit of a hollow feeling for people. But, you know, I don't know. The rules are there, and also Australia has built a reputation for being very strong on our border policies. And we remember back in the day...
Hang on, Doc. There have been people coming in that haven't or have escaped...
Had special treatment.
Yes, and have escaped scrutiny. Actors, and I know of individuals also coming in, receiving...
Yeah, and they have received an exemption from doing the 2 weeks quarantine.
And your friend that you put us on to, Craig Gabriel, because we brought this up last week, because you very kindly came on at your behest, and he said that, there's plenty of people, like he mentioned Rebel Wilson, came in and didn't have to go into quarantine or didn't have to go to the hotel. Or we said that Gil McLaughlin, I think, got a no pair girl in, thanks to Mr. Dutton giving her a clearance to... I mean... It's all right to say one set of rules for some and one for the others, but that's nonsense. One set of rules.
But I think that's relating, though, to people who are dodging the 2 weeks quarantine, not necessarily people who are dodging the jab, you know. I mean, I don't know of cases where people have been able to come in without being jabbed. where there are people who've come in who aren't vaccinated and they've got to do the 2 weeks. So Djokovic clearly wasn't going to do the 2 weeks, and that's why he's on a plane and he's gone home. But look, I've got a feeling that come hell or high water, they were going to decide that this bloke wasn't going to stay and he wasn't going to play, because the federal government had decided, look, there have been way too many cases of these high-profile sports people and actors who'd had a separate set of rules for them. And it's one thing for Aussies doing it when you've got AFL players who are running around the country or Hollywood superstars who are Aussies, but when you've got an unpopular tennis player from Serbia who has kind of crafted himself as someone who isn't a fan of the vaccines, they were always going to make an example of him. And I was, when I was away on the Central Coast, I was catching up with a bunch of blokes every morning for a coffee, and I kept on telling them, I said, mate, Scott Morrison will kick him out of the country. They said, no, he won't. I said, mate, he can't afford to have this guy stay, have 2 weeks of Novak Djokovic being on the front page and then holding up the trophy at the end of the Australian Open, and it'd be game, set, match Djokovic. I mean, Scott Morrison at the moment, with his fortunes dwindling when it comes to the election coming up probably in May, he just couldn't afford that. So he had the option of this ministerial power where you can just boot someone. So, of course, he was going to boot.
Well done, Doc. Now, I want to ask you this. This intrigues me. I'd be interested in – this is completely moving on to a different subject. Prince Andrew is being maligned, whether it be correctly or dishonestly, about his association with a young girl at the behest of Jeffrey Epstein. Why, if I don't know how Bill Clinton, who's been on the Lolita Express 26 times, I don't know why he's not under scrutiny or anyone else, but why don't they just ask Ghislaine Maxwell, was Prince Andrew culpable or in any way associated with this girl that he's been accused of? Why can't they ask her to come give the information out rather than all the speculation? Why haven't they done it already?
I mean, they will be if they haven't already. But the thing that will bring down Prince Andrew is the fact that when he went and visited Jeffrey Epstein's island,
yes,
and when there was a young girl allegedly there at the same time,
yes,
there was a bloke there whose job it was to fix the telecommunications on the island.
Yes,
he's a worker on the island, a maintenance person, and he saw this unfold. He saw Prince Andrew fornicating with a very, very young woman around the pool, who has now identified herself as being underage at the time. So I think Prince Andrew is going to have a very tough time getting through this, because you've got an independent witness there, apart from the fact that he was photographed with young women and what have you. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't the only person. And as you point out, Bill Clinton and a whole range of other high-profile people who were enjoying the largesse of Jeffrey Epstein. But it's one thing to be on someone's plane. It's another thing to be in someone's company. But it's a whole new world you have allegedly engaged in sex with underage people. That's going to be the challenge for Andrew.
But, Doc, if you're on someone's plane 26 times, that's where the action's probably happening on the plane. You don't even get off the plane when it lands. You just get fly back to America because all the action's happened on the plane.
Well,
26 times he was on it.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. You just used the word probably, and yes, the word probably is crucial here because you don't know what happened on there. And someone hasn't come forward and pointed a finger at Bill Clinton, where someone has come forward and directly pointed a finger at Prince Andrew. So if you've got an accusation there, then that's going to be the problem for Prince Andrew. If someone's going to come forward and point the finger at Bill Clinton, as Monica Lewinsky famously did, then Clinton will be in the gun.
But my point is that if you're on a plane 26 times that flies to an island and then flies back to America, what would you be on the plane for 26 times if no one saw you get off it? Or if you got off it, what would you be on the plane for? Because probably the action was on the plane where the hostesses were providing drinks and other services, and you wouldn't even get off the plane. You just fly home again.
Well, again, you've used the word probably.
Of course I have.
I've, Yeah, well, just because you've been in someone's company 26 times doesn't prove what you were doing while you're in their company 26 times.
I see. So,
and you really reckon, I mean, let's think about it. Stand back here for a moment. Yes. You really reckon Bill Clinton is going to be on a private plane in front of other people?
Yes.
Engaging in illegal activity?
Yes.
I don't know.
You don't?
I think that. Well, I mean, he's a wily character. I think he's too smart for that.
So the other people he'd be on the plane in the company of, they're not going to lag him because they're doing exactly the same thing, and the pilot's up there locked in his door or sworn to secrecy. Think about it. 26 times, what would you be doing?
Eating nuts. What else do you do when you're on the plane?
Eating nuts. I'd say the people on the plane would be eating nuts, but not...
Hey, Sam, you can deal, look, and you're welcome to, you can deal in the world of possibles and probables and maybes.
That's true.
But my job is to deal in the realities of what's in front of
us. So you had a bloke who was a communications expert, said he saw Prince Andrew fornicating with a young girl, and what's his credibility, the bloke who gave information?
Well, he seems to be pretty well regarded. He saw all of this unfold, and he has no reason to lie about it. But then again, his information and his testimony will be tested in a court of law. And if Sam Newman is called as a witness in this high profile case in New York, and he gets up there and says probably, maybe, then your evidence can be tested too.
No, I wouldn't. If I got up, I wouldn't say probably. I'd say, could you tell me why you were on the plane 26 times? What did you actually do? Did you get off it and go and have lunch and then come home again 26 times? Or did you ever get off the plane? Or why were you flying 26 times on the Lolita Express?
Hey, anyhow, Don, what do you reckon? Has he got a solid case here, Don? What do you think?
Oh, it's just beyond me, Doc. You know, I know I've consulted with you and you know my IQ, but you guys are just way above me. I just don't know what is going on.
Well, Doc, we've certainly missed you, and because Don's been in a decline. I think the horse bucking him off up at Mortlake has given him a relapse, and I think, is there any way you can come down and do a one-on-one, a face-to-face assessment or an analysis of how he's travelling?
I think I'm ready for it now that, you know, life is returning to normal. I think that I'm ready for a trip to Melbourne to come and say good day. And I'm just glad that we've put lockdowns behind us. I know that Omicron's running around and I know people are getting sick and sadly some people are dying. But if you choose to live under the bed and hide under the doona and you know, draw the blinds for the rest of your life, I mean, it's just not a life worth living. So I'm looking forward to jumping on the plane and coming to Melbourne. In fact, I might even be coming.
Would you like to come out in the boat?
Week. Well, is Brian
insurance is paid
there?
Up. Well, Warwick Capper could be, or Ricky Nixon, you could finish up on Facebook.
Yeah. No, mate.
Brian Mannix, Ricky Nixon. How's Ricky going these days? Oh. Is Ricky all right? Because he's had a few dramas.
Yeah, no, Ricky's a person of interest, Ricky. He's an interesting man. He looks like a thermometer. He's got a head that is scarlet. And I think, I'm not sure what it is, pressure of business or just sunburn. I don't know what it is. But
because also, I mean, look, if I'm to play devil's advocate here for a moment, and I don't know Ricky, but Ricky's also been someone who has faced some controversies in his time. And you wouldn't necessarily like someone to turn around, would you, and say, well, hang on a moment, because he's been on your boat 26 times, you must be up to the same kind of things that he's been accused of, right?
A very long bow, Doc.
Oh, good one, Doctor. No, you are smart. Very good, Doc.
I'm like the pilot who flies Bill Clinton 26 times. I'm just the person who runs the boat. I don't have not responsible for anything else they do, and not that they do anything. Well, I'm not sure what they do, to be honest, because I'm up driving the boat. You'd be a welcome. you'd come out there, and you'd have you could bring. Do you think Jodie would ever come down with you and come out in the boat and meet Don? And she doesn't have to meet me.
It's a bit hard when you've got, you know, three children under the age of seven. So that's a bit challenging at the moment for us to kind of both go away and leave the kids. But I'm thinking of coming to the to the Australian Open final.
Really?
I've been invited by Channel 9.
Oh, by the way.
For that.
By the way, your ex-partner, Rebecca Madden, she paid for her immense salary in three sentences on the opening of when she was meant to be off mic. She's paid for a whole yearly contract with that utterance.
Well, didn't it go viral and global when Rebecca and
around the world,
and you exclusively revealed on this podcast that Rebecca Madden was heading to Channel 7.
I was just going to compliment you, Doctor. You took the words right out of my mouth.
But we already complimented him a week ago by saying,
"Well, I'm doing it personally now, and complimenting him personally that he let it go." I think you were a confidant of many a people, Doctor. I know there's ethics in the medical world, and obviously she consulted with you, and you knew exactly what is going on.
Yes, no, well, it's about putting two and two together and just. And
well, I always get
right
three.
That's all I did. That's all I did. But I do consult with a number of people, and I'm glad to include you guys in that group, and sometimes. You need my assistance more than others, and I think at the moment you're both flying pretty well, apart from the odd back incident on a horse or a shark incident on a boat.
You specialise in psychology, I thought. Now you're getting into the practical field of medicine.
Speaking shit.
Well, maybe if I was on the boat, I could have stitched up Brian Mannix from whatever bit him, which I'm predicting was not a shark. As if he was bitten by a shark. What a load of BS.
Well, I'm tend to agree with you, Doc, but I can't be responsible for the stuff they put out on their social media posts. Mm. Mind you, I might ask them to leave their phones back at the wharf next time. now, Doc, it's been a delight to speak to you again, and we look forward to it every Wednesday at 9:30, and you're a star. And
I'll be looking forward to listening back to the podcast, as I always do, and one of my great things is when I look at my podcast feed and see the image pop up of Sam and Don and Mike Sheehan, may God rest his soul. it's fantastic.
Now, he hasn't died. Scott Palmer left us this week. I don't know if you know who Scott Palmer is. There's
Why
your phone.
Why has he left you?
He died. Scott Palmer. Scott Palmer was a.
Phone?
That's Don's phone. For,
know what people do, Sam? Can I tell you what happens, right? I'm gonna let you in on something for a moment, right? And I may be
Is
breaching,
this enlightening?
Shut up, Don.
I may be breaching patient confidentiality here, but there's a chance.
Oh, fuck. That's his phone again. Go on, Don.
There's a chance that Don lines up mates to ring him while the podcast is being recorded because he knows it drives you mad. If you think this is an accident, then you don't understand the way Don
Shit,
works.
You're
mate.
A smart
this is a
man.
Campaign.
He's
Shit, Doc.
He's smart.
That Doc,
that's
that,
what happened.
That is Edward de Bono stuff at its best. That's the best bit of lateral thinking. I reckon you're onto something there, and it took you all this time for me to be awake to that. That's Edward de Bono stuff, mate. Well done.
Well, I love you both. I love you, Ivan, and I'll be listening as soon as this is uploaded online. I'll be listening to myself, of course, and I'll be listening to all. Have we got three episodes today, three chapters?
Yeah, we got Ian Botham coming in next. We're going to
Is that part of sport?
and Ivan, shut the fuck up. And Ivan, you've been speaking too much, all right?
Very well.
Good on you, Doc. All
and
the best.
Good, and good
get
luck.
On you, boys.
And good
See
luck. And hi to Jody.
Up. What have I done? Have I turned him off? Have I turned him off?
You've turned him off, but we're still going. We're still rolling.
So are we? So
we
I'm,
are.
I'm just to make sure that now we've just got to turn him off here.
Oh,
shut up. Now, just a minute. I'm turning him off here. I'm turning Bluetooth off there, and I'm turning it off there. And, well, he's not on, is he?
No.
Now, Don, there we are. So I think we've covered, what have we covered? Everything else? Have you been watching the tennis?
Now listen.
Kyrgios. How's Kyrgios?
Ah, I meant to ask the dog. Why couldn't we get Kyrgios and interview him?
He played last night. What a star.
Don, put my torch down. I've been watching. You're going to dismantle. Give me that torch. Yeah, I've been watching you. Give it to me. You've dismantled every biro that I've ever had in the place. Give me the pen. Did you see him fiddling with that? Yeah, he's just taken the battery out of it. He's disassembled it. He's reassembled it.
There we go. It's good as new.
Just fiddle around you like a child with a toy. So what else?
Kyrgios.
Now?
So we're going to get Kyrgios in?
Well, I'm sure Mr. Nick won't come at our behest, but we need the doctor to pull the magic strings because he got Craig Gabriel was very good. Anything else going on?
Yes, the Australian show jumping titles.
Oh, fuck. Yep.
What do you mean?
No,
oh,
go,
fuck.
No, go on, yep. No.
You, listen, good. Go ahead. I am pushing this because if you read on the Sunday paper, it's something that just hasn't been exploited in Australia. Jerry Harvey and his wife, Katie Page, are putting on a show jumping tournament next year.
Is he jumping? Is he doing
his daughter jumps in Europe.
Does he jump?
No, but he's responsible for the Magic Millions and the Yearling Sale.
Be a big horse.
Up in Queensland. They also put on a polo tournament. It's all horse orientated. But next year, there's a show jumping tournament. They're putting $1 million into it.
Ooh.
There was $100,000 in prize money this year, but it will be in Queensland, obviously.
Will you be in it?
Well, I hope
really?
The horses. No, no, no. I won't be in the top stuff because I've only got young horses.
We'll get some older horses.
Go up there. I will go up there if they've got events
Ivan
suitable.
Ivan and I will go up with you.
Yeah,
we'll be your support
fine.
Staff.
That's fine. That's fine.
Will
you
your back
along.
Be all right by then?
Yeah, it'll be right. Now, listen, the Australian show jumping titles are at Boneo Park. You remember
yes.
where you made a fool of yourself?
No, I came down and photographed you.
Yes, in the
you.
Middle of the arena. There's certain etiquette and rules, but you didn't adhere to those at all.
If I need to repeat myself, I was standing there. Who was I there with? Someone, who was I?
Tony Jewell.
I was standing there with Tony Jewell. And you got on the horse and you bounced, you got a tunic on and your brightly polished shoes.
Before.
No, I'm sorry, just saying it again because I'm not going to be maligned by you. And so you bounced out to the start and you said, could you take a couple of photos of me?
You've taken a bit of poetic or journalistic license there. That is a fucking lie.
Take some photos of you doing it.
That is a fucking...
Don, swearing, don't Don. Swear.
Well, you are getting me upset.
You said, could you take a
no,
photo
I
of me?
No, I did not.
And Tony...
Don't you fuck... Don't
Tony said...
No, Tony.
Tony said, Sam, I know what he'd appreciate. Why don't you go out into the...
You are taking a lot of
license here.
Why
don't you go out into the middle of the arena behind one of those safety barriers and video him doing it? He would appreciate that. So I said, oh, Tony, do you think I should do that? He said, go on. So I said to a woman... I said, can I just sneak across there? Because Don wants me to take a video of him.
Oh.
So I just said that to her. So I go out, and when he saw Don, I had the camera up, the camera phone, I got on video, and when he saw me with the camera up, he sat up, bolt upright, as though, as I say, he had a bottle up his ass, and the horse went, and Don went, here we go, and anyway, and it came down to the first jump and he went, lift! And the horse went over beautifully lift. And its tail went up lift. And there was a... plume of urine came out of its ass and Don went bounced around again and Tony said, did you get that? I said, he's coming around to do a triple. I think, what's a triple? There's three bits of wood in a row. And he got there and he went, lift! And the horse went... up it went again and it farted and it sprayed shit out his bum and he got to the end and he was as proud as a dog with a tin dick. You couldn't wipe the smile off his dick face.
Off his what?
No, off his
off
face.
His dick.
No, I don't know, off his face. And but
anyway, the Australian show jumping titles. That was the Victorian Championship you attended. But they're on the 2nd and the 6th of February at Boneo Park. That is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So all of those people who are down on the Mornington Peninsula looking for something to do, this is the best show jumping venue in Victoria.
Yep.
Boneo Park, it's got a restaurant where you can have a
restaurant.
Meal. It has.
Oh,
beautiful
bullshit.
Restaurant in between the two.
Where the horses.
And since you've been there,
where the,
two rings, it's right. It's a new addition.
Well, how do you get them?
It's a Rilla restaurant.
How do you get to the restaurant if it's in between the two horse jumping
tracks? Because there's a space between the two arenas. And
tell me, is this true, Don? Someone said that...
A Rilla restaurant.
Someone told me, Ivan, that Don was down there and it was a particularly foggy day after he'd finished. I don't, this must have been in early autumn or winter. And he thought, he got in his car to drive home and it was very thick fog. And he thought, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll latch on to someone's taillights and I'll let them drive down the road and I'll just follow the taillights. Because let them take all the risk of, because they, no one could see. So he followed this bloke for 17 kilometres in this car, and eventually the car stopped abruptly, and he back-ended him, drove right up his clacker, and Don got out of the car, and he said to the bloke, "What did you stop for?" And the bloke said, "Well, I've just arrived at my garage."
Don, you didn't.
Is that true, Don? Did you follow a bloke home and drive up his ass when he stopped after he'd driven into his garage? Is that true, or did someone make that up? I'll tell you what someone else said to me too, Don, that you went out with a woman. A woman? I think you're still a heterosexual, aren't you? Is that your pronouns? You went out with a woman on, might have been just welcoming the new year. Now, tell me if this is true. And you ordered a champagne and a, because you don't drink, a Coke, a glass of Coke for yourself. And the waitress, waiter, bought the champagne for your partner and you got the Coke and you walked over to the barman and you said, "Oh, mate, you, I've got the champagne, but could I have a straw for my Coke?" And the bloke said, "Why don't you roll up a 50 like everyone else does?" Is that true? Don.
Donald.
Hello. Right, no, all right. Is that fine? So, you're going to enter in a $1 million show jumping extravaganza, which is up at Boneo Park next year, are you?
You completely fucked everything up. Oh shit! Oh. I've gone from Queensland to Victoria to the $1 million.
You said there was a restaurant in the middle of the show jumping arena at Boneo Park.
There is.
How do you get to it? You've got to dodge the horses.
No, you go up past Bunnings, you know, on the way to the National.
Bunnings?
You know, well, you go play golf at the National.
What's Bunnings got to do
with it? At Rosebud.
Oh, that the golf course that you said had a shit-ass name, and if it was called something else, that they'd come from overseas
to play at the Rosebud Country Club. Well, you go up Boneo Road, just past Bunnings.
How
turn
do you
right
get to the
at
restaurant
this
if it's in the middle of the arena?
Well, you go down the particular driveway, which is about a K long. It's just past Bunnings, the Boneo Park. It's called Boneo Park Equestrian Centre.
Well, it would be called that if it was at Boneo. So, yes. Don, you said that I shouldn't have gone across the track to get a video of you at your request, get a video of you horse jumping. And you had to be careful of the horses. How do you get to the restaurant if it's in the middle of the equestrian track?
Oh, God. This is impossible.
Well, and that's, what sort of restaurant would that be?
It's a very nice
restaurant.
What are
they serving?
Very fine food. In fact, the boys and I, when we work at Fingal, go there for our lunch.
The smell of horse shit and the restaurant sitting. Has it got an outdoor area?
You sit yes.
There, the waft
you
of watch horse
it,
manure.
You have a look at the wetlands. They've reclaimed the wetlands.
Sounds great. Just like a breeding arena
of
for
mosquitoes.
Ah, shit, eh? All right, well, Don, I'd say before you enter the $1 million show jumping extravaganza that you learn how to put the bridle, the horse's tongue, over the bit or the bridle.
No, I'd put a tongue grid in its mouth.
I'd put a tongue grid in your mouth, Don. That's what I would. That's what we might do, Ivan. Put a dung grid in his mouth.
A dung grid in what?
So this is the seventh.
He's got a few friends, hasn't
this
he?
Is the seventh.
There's your mate Jeff Slattery.
This
you spoke to Slattery lately?
No, he's
what? There's another one. who's bit the dust like Mike Sheehan, Rod Law, and Jeff Slattery.
Well, Jeff Slattery.
He was going to write a book on you, your life story. Yeah, what happened there?
Jeff
you
Slattery.
You blasted that relationship.
Jeff decided he became a feckless weasel.
Oh, what?
Because we asked him a simple question, a request, who you would consider him as a friend, asked him a simple request that day that we were trying to get the thing out of the paper about Harry O'Brien, or what's his name now? Heretio Lubumba.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he said, no, I won't provide it for you. It was public knowledge. It was public in the public domain. But, oh, no, he wouldn't give it to us. These are the friends that you deal with.
No.
Fair-weather friends. Yeah, feckless they are. Feckless.
You've got a way of going through people.
Anyhow, well, you might talk. Anyhow, we're going to ring off now. We're going to come back with, I'm not sure that I'd say this in front of him, but we're coming back with a very, very prominent person in world sport. World sport.
Is he in an aristocracy?
Is he an aristocrat?
Yes.
He is an aristocrat, Don.
Really?
Yeah. And they said that he had sagacity. Wisden, who is a cricket aficionado book, said that he had sagacity.
Is that wind?
Sounds like it.
Sagacity, I think, means intelligence. I'm not sure what sagacity means. I'll look that up. Is that wind? Why would Wisden's cricket book say he had wind? Holy shit, that's extraordinary. Righto, that's it. Now, what have we done wrong? Has any of this been recorded?
Absolutely.
So here we go.
Hit the